Blog Talk Radio.
Heaven could be a wonderful, very special, beautiful gift. Heaven sent me a very wonderful, supernatural.
This is Issues Christian Men's Talk, and I'm Deacon Thomas Fuller, your host for tonight. Today is Thursday, August the 24th, 2017. We pray all is well with you and your family. We pray continued blessings, and God will show favor for you in your life. Well, tonight we're going to talk about character traits of a Christian man, and we're just going to touch on some points and some scriptures, and we would, it just to be a word of encouragement of who we are, because the Word of God is multifaceted. God has a call for every man, every aspect of our life, every part of our life, the Word of God can speak into. And as we grow closer to Him and grow more Christ-like, there's certain characteristics we should take and be an example in the communities, in our homes, and in the church, that we might be able to stand, that we might be able to lead someone, that we might be in a role model, an example, be the mentor and disciple, the next generation, and those new believers who come into the church. As men of God, we need to be able to stand up and define what manhood is and what it means to be a true man. Amen. So we're going to touch on a few tonight, and hopefully, if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can call in and share your insight and wisdom by calling in at 646-668-2636. And just press 1 on your keypad, and you can join in. We'll bring you into the conversation. Amen. Well, tonight, we're going to open up a scripture and prayer, and then we're going to move into our discussion. We have a couple of announcements for this upcoming weekend. So we have a lot of events going on, but we're going to have a couple that we want to point out to those who are listening here locally in the Baltimore, D.C. area. Again, we're reading from Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5, starting at verse number 1. And the Word of God says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad on our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Father God, we say thank you tonight. We say thank you, God, for sending your Son, God. Even when we were disobedient, even when I was disobedient, did not know you, God, living a life of flesh, desire, and lust, you, yet you sent your son, died for me and died for all the unbelievers, God, that we might come into the knowledge and to the light, God. So we say thank you today, God. We come to you with hearts of gratitude. We say thank you for the men that are on the line with us tonight. We say thank you for their families, their bloodlines, oh God. And Father, we continue to pray for those who have yet come to the knowledge of Christ. And God, we pray for the saints who go out and evangelize, who reach folk, who spread the gospel, who plant the seeds, oh God, and you will have control of the ground, but we are faithful in planting the seeds of the gospel. Continue to bless us and our families. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Well, tonight we have a couple of announcements opening up for this weekend. First, we have the Winning Souls Evangelistic Church, and their Helping Hands Food Pantry is open every, second and fourth Saturday, and this is the fourth Saturday coming up. So they'll be open from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. You must bring a photo ID, have fresh vegetables, meat, fresh fruit. The pantry is located at 2392 The church phone number is 410-437-0137. Even if you don't live in the Pasadena area, Anne Arundel County, if you call the church, there's a network of pantries, and I'm sure they can get you the address and location of the pantry in your Pacific area if you can't make it out to Pasadena. Also, in conjunction with that, Winning Souls Evangelist Church is having a back-to-school event. They're giving away book bags and haircuts and school supplies for those in the community, an outreach event. So we encourage you to go to reach out with them if you're in the area and you need school supplies to help out those families with young children going back. Because as we know, if you have more than one child, the requirements they have or the request they have for the kids to bring the school supplies it can get expensive. Amen. So we encourage you to join them, the Winning Souls Evangelistic Church, at 2322 Mountain Road in Pasadena, Maryland, for their pantry and their outreach and school supplies. Also, on the other side of town, in Sevier, Maryland, the Back to Academics Community Social is going to be held on Saturday, the 26th of August, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., and that's being sponsored by Beyond the Walls Church Outreach by the Covenant Lifehouse Ministries, the Community of Love United Outreach of Severn, and also by the Turning Heads Barbershop, and they're giving a $5 off special on back to school haircuts, and also from Jesus Lives Family Ministry, where the pastor there is Pastor George Sharp, will be out there and giving away backpacks, school supplies. Also, the county will be out there, county fire, county police, and there's a plan for a full day of events, music, food, gifts, fun, right out there on Reese Road at 1153 Reese Road in Sevier, Maryland. It's right across from the Van Barken Elementary School. For those who are familiar, right off 175. If you have a question, we still have opportunity and plenty of space. If you'd like to participate in your ministry, your church, or your organization, call Mr. Boone at 410-412-4945 and make arrangements, and we'll save you a spot out there in the parking lot. Come sit at the table and let your material minister to the community. Again, that's on Back to Academics Community Social on Saturday in Reese Road in Sevier, Maryland. All these announcements can be seen on our Issues Christian Men Talks Facebook page. We have the link there. The flyers are up. All the phone numbers, in case you didn't get a chance. But if you go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on Facebook, you'll see the flyers there posted. You'll see the information posted. Amen? Amen. And now, for my brothers that are listening, those who listen to me regularly weekly, I've been telling you about it. It's coming soon. Our next Man Up event is coming. It's planned for the last weekend in August. We have our first meeting this week, and as soon as we have concrete plans in place, we will be advertising. Anybody who's on our mailing list, who's been to our previous events, you will be getting an invite. An information flyer will be coming out, and we'll be reaching out to you. Because, again, we're having a man-up event gathering in the month of October, and we encourage you to prepare yourselves. By Monday's broadcast, we will have all the information you need, and also our topics and discussion topics. So we encourage you to prepare yourself and come out. Let me share this real quick about our Man Up events. It's the format is more of an interactive discussion forum to find solutions to some of the issues. So we're going to come, we're going to minister, we're going to talk, we're going to reason together and see the things we can do for the men who attend, what they can do once they leave the building to change what the things that they're struggling with in their lives. But I put a specific topic, so I would encourage you to come out and please continue to listen to us. Watch us on Facebook, because as soon as we lock in the final decisions and lock everything in, we will be reaching out and encourage you to come out. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we have one more thing because I wanted to put out there to the audience. Because October, the month of October, for those who don't know or those who do know, the month of October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So we wanted to share a couple of things about that. We're going to be talking about it. We have some guests lined up for the month of October. We have a lot of discussion about it. There's a lot of events going on. The state of Maryland is having a seminar event, a teaching event that they're putting together. And here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, that's one of our issues that we can talk about because our families, we're struggling with our families. And first thing I would like to say to the body of Christ, for men of faith, what is your church doing to stop domestic violence? And what is your process? What is your procedure? If you have a Bible study, a Sunday service, a rehearsal, and someone comes to you or your leaders and say they're victims of domestic violence, or they know someone with a domestic violence issue, is your church, is your ministry, is your leadership team prepared to handle that? And what are they going to do? We have plans in place for everything. We have plans in place if it snows, if the lights go out, if whatever. I know some churches have round robin calls to get information out. But what would happen if this Sunday someone approached you after the service and said they was a victim of abuse, they needed help, they're afraid to go back home? What would your church do? Amen? So this is the opportunity, too, because we need to be proactive instead of reactive in a lot of things. Because we never know. That could be the day they go back, and the next thing you hear about it, they're in the hospital or they're dead. It's as simple as that. Amen? And then also, some of the things we need to do as we mentor, as we raise young men, as we speak into young men's lives, there's some ways that men and boys can do to prevent domestic violence. And I want to touch on a couple of them real quick here in the beginning of the show, just be able to share. The first one is we have to redefine manhood. Consider the messages that we put out and what do we tell about what healthy relationship, what it means to be a man in a relationship. And that's from the youngest, because as you know, we have now our kids are exposed to, we have kids, they quote unquote call themselves dating and in relationships as young as middle school. But what does that mean? And what does that look like? And are we defining manhood in the proper way, even at an early age when it comes to relationships? I know we have a lot of parents out there that talk about, well, they're too young. But remember, they're in the school for 6 hours a day. And relationships, because if they're bombarded with what's in the culture, this is what they have to deal with. But are we going to prepare them? Are we going to condemn them and tell them what they can't do? I mean, whatever. However, why are we defining manhood? What are we teaching our children before we send them out there? And relationships is one of those things we need to start as early as we possible. You know who your child is and where they are and who they're around. What does it mean to be in a healthy and safe relationship? And what does it look like to be in an unhealthy and unsafe relationship? Well, it's one of the things we can do. Second thing is we can talk, share, and listen. Better communication in relationships helps. We talk to our partners. You know, we do a lot of that in marriage ministry, but also in the dating thing. A lot of people do a lot of dating to impress and never really talk to each other. Our young people, our teenagers, our 20-year-olds, and what are we speaking? How are we speaking to them? And as a church, not just parents, but even as a church, what are we saying and what are we teaching young people about relationships? And these are some of the things that we can be able to touch upon and speak upon. Amen? And again, during this, in the next couple of weeks, in the month of October, we'll be talking more and more about that. Because a lot of domestic violence starts early in relationships, and there's red flags, there's warning signs, and there's things that we have to be looking out for and train our young people for. So we encourage you to join us for that. Again, we have a lot of links on our Facebook page for the Maryland Network for Domestic Violence, the National Domestic Violence Hotline, and there's a lot of resources out there that you can get to get this information. And for my elite pastors and deacons and elders, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to have the resources in place. Do you know in the county or city you in where your domestic violence shelter is, or what the numbers is, or how you can get somebody to a safe place? Again, do you know, or would you have to go run around, look it, Google it, and everything else? Or are you in a place where you can provide help? Amen? Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about a few Christian character in men. We're going to touch upon a couple of subjects here. I have Pastor Joe Offers with me tonight, and we're going to share some wisdom and insight from him and talk about some of the characteristics. We're going to talk about three or four of them tonight and just encourage you. And again, if you're listening online and you called in at 646-668-2636, you can press 1 on your keypad at any time. We'll see you on the switchboard. We can bring you into the conversation. You can share your insights or ask any questions. Amen? Amen. Pastor Offer, can you hear me, sir? Good evening. Pastor Offer, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I can hear you now.
God bless.
All right. How are you, sir? Good evening.
I'm doing well, and I'm excited to be part of Issues Christian Men Talk again, and to have an opportunity to share with the brothers and make them strong.
Amen, sir. I thank you. Well, we're going to talk about a couple of character traits. I know we teach in I know a lot of teach the Galatians 5:22-23 as the fruit of the Spirit, as some of our character traits that we should be as Christians. But I was doing a study, and we're going to expand a little bit on that, because again, we don't want to put the Word of God in a box, because there's a lot of things in our lives that we go through and that we do that the Word of God speaks to. And we have to be able to, again, we encourage men as husbands and fathers and leaders in the church and the community to study. You know, I was on a conversation with a brother one time at a meeting, and he said, you know, I stopped reading the Bible and I began to study the Bible. And for us to be able to really apply the Word of God, we have to study it. So, you know, you may say you're reading it, but are you studying? Are you meditating on it? Are you praying? And then most of all, are you applying it? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, the first one we're going to talk about, amen. So the first one we're going to talk about is a topic that it's funny, but the Word of God speaks to it. But for some men, it's something they may struggle with. They may not think it as a character trait. It's being efficient. And that's being well-organized, competent, and resourceful, so we can make the most of every situation, doing our best and seeking better ways. What do you say about that, sir? As Christian men, the importance of us to get to the place where we're efficient and people see us in our lifestyle. What do you say, sir?
Guilty. When I first got married, I don't think we've ever shared this before, but you know, I've been married for 32 years, and if you do the math, that means that I got married just before I turned 21. And, you know, I have a good vision of when I was just going around, going through the motions, and wasn't very efficient. Efficiency saves a lot of burdens and troubles for yourself and for your family. And it also is something that's acquired through a skill that we don't talk about too much, and that's discipline.
Amen. You're right, because being disciplined is very important in our lives. That's one of our big character traits. Because first of all, we have to understand where we are undisciplined in our lives, and learn and understand that God has called us. Because we can't do the things that God does unless we are disciplined in our personal lives and our home lives. Because again, when our families see us, when our wives, our children, those who truly know us, If they see that change in our life, that by itself can be a testimony for the gospel and what God can do. You know, if we were always, you know, unorganized and we never could, you know, figure things out or whatever the struggle was, or even working out of our own intellect or knowledge or out of our own emotion, that can cause a lot of trouble for us.
One other thought, Deacon Farr, is that, you know, when we're talking about efficiency and the fact that we need to possess discipline in order to achieve efficiency, it, you know, one of the things that we often overlook when we're talking as pastors, we talk about, you know, this is what you should do and what have you, but we don't talk about the economy of it. You know, if you have a fairly decent job, you know, you can make upwards of $1 million through your lifetime. And that's God's resources that he's giving to you in order for you to fulfill all of your duties that you're supposed to fulfill as a man. And the Bible calls us to be good stewards. Well, if we are wasteful in our effort, we're out here and, you know, our number one focus is, you know, fantasy league. Our number one focus is watching Games of Thrones or whatever. You know, we get hung up in. Those things are okay, but we have to put the big rocks in the jar before we put the sand in. Because if we put the sand in, you know, little teeny weeny, insignificant little specks of stuff, a whole bunch of it, eventually we're not going to have room for the important things. And so we have to look at the economy of efficiency. There's, you know, one, making sure that there's enough time budgeted for those things that are important, like our wives, our children, self-development, and those types of things. And then use the leftover time for the fun stuff, you know, playing golf or what have you. Maybe play golf once a month rather than playing every weekend.
Amen. I agree. You know, it is. It's playing out our life. You know, there's a saying a lot of these I picked up from hanging with the brothers. But, you know, are we efficient in our life and the things that we do, how we spend our time? Are we living life or are we letting life live us? Are we always reacting to things? We never seem to be organized. We're never we're never proactive in anything that we do because we're not taking time out, like you say. To make the main things the main things, the important things important, and then fit the other things in. Because there's things that are long-lasting. You know, there's some things that are fleeting, you know, because we all have different levels of entertainment and entertainment issues and things that we like to do and we enjoy. Like you say, some is golf, some is basketball, some is whatever it can be. I mean, you know, it's because there was a time I remember there was a generation of brothers who were video games, and they were on video games all night, every night, overnight, and still trying to go to work the next day, but they're playing video games 15 hours a day. I mean, there was a generation. I don't know if it's still out there. It doesn't seem like it's as trendy as it used to be. But, you know, it's the same thing. And are we organizing our lives? How can we lead our families if we don't organize and know what's going on? And I know you brought that in about pastors, but, you know, it is for all of us, really. And the thing that we do when we Issues Christian Men's Talk is to be able to share and to encourage, because all of us have to examine ourselves, look in the mirror in this thing and find out, am I efficient and what the Word of God says. I want to read real quick from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, and I'll get your thoughts, Pastor. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And what do you say, sir?
The phone actually broke up on that, Deacon Farr. Could you repeat your question real quick?
I was reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10.
Oh, okay.
So it was talking about us, when it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Yeah, that when I was going over some of the the study material, preparing for tonight. You know, when the word is talking about your gift, I just want to say this one thing about the gift. In all of our efficiency, we need to make sure that we don't squander the gift. And what I mean by that is, when God blesses us with talents and skills and those types of things, when God blesses us, it's for the purpose of blessing others. You and I have talked about it before, but in the ministry, and everybody has a ministry, and matter of fact, we can coin a phrase, the ministry of you. In the ministry of you, you need to make sure that you are reflecting what God is pouring into you. You need to pour it out, whatever is there. And there's a measure for that. You don't waste your gift on somebody that God didn't intend for it to be given to. God is going to lead you, and he is going to direct you. And sometimes God's going to pour things into you, and you aren't going to know what to do with it. And sometimes we like to rush out, and we like to stir up a ministry. And what do I mean by stirring up a ministry? Stirring up a ministry means the Lord's blessed me with this. I immediately have to regurgitate it. Some things you have to hold in because there's not the time isn't now. But later on, you have that opportunity to use it and use it wisely and efficiently for what God has given you to bless somebody else.
Amen, sir. Amen. You're right. Sometimes that's where that being efficient, and one of the things that carries over to is what we're going to talk about, one of the other characteristics we want to talk about is and this question talks
Amen.
About keeping our minds and focus on sound judgment, giving serious attention and thought to what's going on. It will carefully choose our words, our attitudes, and actions to be right for any given situation, thus avoiding words and actions that could result in adverse consequences. And that discretion, to me, is that patience. We got to know when. It's funny. We could break that down to know when to speak and know when not to speak. When to act and when not to act. When to move and when to move. And that takes the wisdom that God, that takes wisdom. That is a gift and a characteristic because, you know, like you say, sometimes we jump out into things because it looks good, sounds good, and we haven't considered it. We haven't reasoned it out. We haven't sought the good, the bad, to see if we should be doing it right now or should we wait or should we. And it's not also in ministry. It's in life sometimes. It goes back to school, to jobs, to, and for some of the brothers out there, the women we marry, the women we date, it's a lot of it. And that knowing that, I think, is important. And I think part of that is knowing who you are, what you want to accomplish, and have a vision for your life. What do you say, sir?
That's absolutely correct. Going back to discipline, but it's still the same thing, knowing the appropriateness. I find one of the things that I've had to deal with in growing up, so to speak, is everything that pops in your head doesn't have to come out. And if something pops in your head, make sure that you have your filters in place so that, you know, first of all, you're speaking honestly and you are working towards an end goal. I don't know if anybody follows me on Facebook, they've seen my profile picture sometimes as Think. You know, it spells it out, THINK, Think. And if you open your mouth to say anything, if you apply the principles of Think, then you can't go wrong opening your mouth. And that is, first of all, is it truthful? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? And I think those five-prong test helps us to ensure that when the words come out of our mouth, that they're appropriate, and it'll help us to, as you were sharing, avoiding words and actions that'll cause problems down the road. There's so many times I've opened my mouth and I wish I could grab them. But once a word is heard, it can't be unheard. And so it's very important for us to make sure that we operate with utmost discretion.
Amen, sir. And that, and you're right. And that's where we have to learn it. For some of us that, you know, it depends, we're men of a certain age and we lived a certain way and said what we wanted to say when we wanted to say it. And when we come into the body of Christ, because I want to speak into the lives of those brothers who've lived lives and then come into salvation and understand that it's being renewed in the mind, renewed in our heart, is that our character is going to change. Some of the things that we might have thought were good characteristics as an unbeliever may or may not be characteristics that God can use. You know, it's not that we, you know, sometimes we talk about, you know, when men come into the church, we try to change them. We want to feminize them. We want to humble everybody and keep them from being men. But some of it is we have to be recalibrated. I'll use that word. And have a mindset of God. And the only way we can do that is through the study of Scripture, through prayer. And also it's important to be, I believe, to be discipled and mentored in the body of Christ. And that's one of the things we talk about here at Issue Christian Men's Talk and why we have our Man Up, the Coalition of Ministries to Men. And we encourage here issues at every church. You know, I know some churches don't have it for whatever reason, but every church should have either a men's ministry or a time when leadership and the men come together and be able to discuss and share and sow into each other's lives. Because we never know what a man is going through. Because for men, sometimes it's hard to share our struggles, our challenges, and even our failures. And if we can't do that in the body of Christ and we're not in true fellowship, you know, we're not fulfilling what the church is called to do. Again, if we read through Scripture, we see that men, you know, godly men, men that believe God, men that God used, had issues, had problems, had conflicts with one another. But yet, because of Christ, because of the love of God, because of the leading of the Holy Spirit, these things were handled. And they handled them differently than, we would say, an unbeliever or someone who would be, you know, be moved by their emotions. Amen?
Amen. And you said something earlier about the reset, and you were also encouraging that men would get together in the men's fellowship, you know, and you know, we're often talking about encouraging churches to develop a men's fellowship if they don't have one. But Deacon Farr, one thing's been really worrying on my heart is our young men do not see the value in getting together. What they think a men's fellowship is or a men's ministry is a bunch of old dudes sitting around doing old dude stuff and boring stuff. And our young men need to hear, need to understand, and perhaps it'll take us older men the overt act of going and making a personal invitation to young men to come to these things, because this is probably the deepest well of wisdom that they will ever be able to get a hold of, and it will help them to do, as you say, reset. Because when I was 20, well, we know it wasn't just Pastor Offer, but all of us. When we were in our 20s, we were so sure of ourselves, and if we saw somebody go out and ride a motorcycle, oh, I could do that, and I can do it better. You know, no, I don't need any training to do it. I can just do it and do it better. And this well of wisdom, that's what helps to develop the discretion. That's what helps us to be more efficient and to help us to do all the other things that we're going to talk about tonight. But I just had to share that because that was just burning.
Yes, sir, I agree. And that is part of it. And that's one of the things we talk about. And we also, when we come together and in the men's groups I'm part of, we have to, you know, I'll put it this way. for the, my brothers, my Christian church folk who are out there, they know pancake breakfasts are not helping. Even men's breakfasts once a month, if there is no engaging dialogue. And then also, I agree with you 100% what you're saying. We have to be able to engage the generation behind us who are in the church to be part of these things. I mean, I understand what you're saying. There's a balance you have to find because you have to engage them. But then again, I say this. Ministry men in the church, I'm going to say this because I may get in trouble. Some folk hear it. But we need to make manhood and male Christianity a priority in the church because we can't say that there are no men in church. But when you come there, you don't address their issues. You don't address them. But the church is not relevant to what they're going through. If your church is too feminized, we have to look at what you're doing and how you do things. Because men and women are not the same. If in the body of Christ we would understand that men and women are not the same, because the culture understands it clearly. But the culture is trying to feminize men, trying to devalue fathers, trying to devalue male role models in the culture. So they understand, but the church doesn't seem to understand that if we lift up men, if we minister to men, if we remember the masculinity of the Word of God and use it in a way that encourages, especially when you there's a different kind of man. I'll say this, and we're going to go back where we're a little bit off, but I just wanted to share this with what you were saying, that we have to be able to engage, because especially when we do evangelism and outreach, if we're pulling men in, unbelieving men, they've lived a certain life in a certain way. If they come to church and there's a certain spirit or smell or whatever you want to call it, aroma, that's too feminine, they're not coming back. Simple as that. I know that's hard for some people to say but that's why. And I say this to whenever I talk to pastors, I'll say it here. But is your church making men feel comfortable there? Period. There's a balance. We have to find a balance. But can a man come in that you're coming to your ministry into your church and be a man? And even if he's going through some things, it's important that we be able to speak to them. Go ahead, Pastor.
There was a time at Harvest when the predominant demographic in our church was young men. Young men between the ages of, 17 and 27. And we were trying to build some young men, and we were trying to partner them up with older men and try and engage them. And we had that mentality. Well, I'm here on Sunday, I'm putting in my time and I'm gonna roll out. And I wanna be encouraging to people who are out there that are actively pursuing young men to teach them these traits. Because we did that. We were actively trying to get the young men involved. And, the studies that the Barna Group does, George Barna does extensive studies into what people are thinking that we're trying to reach, who we're trying to reach. And we understand, and because I study these things and I talk to people, I find that the people that I'm talking to are validating the statistics that are out there. So churches that really take deep looks at the demographic are trying hard to engage young men, but we just can't. I'm gonna correct myself. It's not that we just can't. It's a hard fought challenge to engage young men. So what's the answer to that, Pastor Offer? The answer to that is, church, we need to start praying for our young men. We need to start praying for our older men that are engaged. And we need to start praying that God can take us and use us. And I refuse to believe that God has taken older men through things just so they could sit back and say, okay, we made it through these things. There's more to it than that. There's a way for us to share those experiences with these younger men. And I've seen young people on fire for the Lord. And I've seen them on fire with a thirst to try and learn about the Lord. But we have to break. We need to focus on that. And that's what I applaud you for, Deacon Farr. I applaud you because even as following you and the people that you're helping to promote, you know, there's a constant effort to go out and grab and bring in our young men. Hebrews 10 and 25 applies to more than just Sunday service. Just, you know, forsake not the gathering of the people, of the saints, like some folk do. Some folk just don't want to be hanging around. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. If you want to be a church, if the Lord has revealed a value to you, run to your church. And when you run to your church, say, what can I do, Pastor, to help to reach out to whoever needs to be reached out to? And these men folk that, you know, sit at home and wait for their women folk to come home from church on Sunday need to be there. My wife doesn't go too many places that I don't go with her and engage. And I'm there. As a matter of fact, my wife, when we moved to this area in 1990, my wife went to a church. I was working. I couldn't go to church on Sunday. And my wife and my mother were going to a church every Sunday. And I listened to the report that they would bring back. And when I went, I felt exactly what they had reported. I felt at home. And I joined that church that very same Sunday as we all did. You know, so you have to be interested, men, in standing up. Be efficient. Have discretion. And I know you want to say something. I would bring on one of these other traits, Deacon Farr, but it's important that we impress upon people that you can't be what God wants you to be if you don't get into the development phase. I'm gonna save that towards the end.
Amen. 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 You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here with Pastor Joe. I'm sorry. I keep calling you Jay.
Jay, you can call me Jay.
Amen. Jay Offer, and tonight we're talking about character traits of a Christian man. So far, we talked about being efficient, having discretion, and the next one we're going to talk about is obedience. I think some of the things we're talking about tonight, I know we were talking about reaching young men and reaching the next generation. And Pastor, he mentioned it too. You know, there comes a time in our Christian walk for all of us that God has put so much in us. He's saved us. He's filled us. We're filled up. We're spiritually fat. We're prepared. But now what are we doing with it? What we gained? We didn't get saved for, you know, ourselves. Just get me saved, get my family saved, and then that's it. We're called to reach the world. We're called to be salt and light. And I think being obedient to the word means to go out and be salt and light, to be engaging. And when we talk about older men reaching younger men, I believe it's in the book of Titus, it talks about that. So these are the things we should be doing as a community. Because we have to, I think, I use my brother pastor's word he likes to use, a paradigm shift, that we have to see differently what the church is supposed to be doing. It's not about us gathering and my little clique, my little crowd, my little congregation. There's a whole lost people out there who have not heard the gospel and have not and don't know any better, and we're not doing what we're called to do. Remember, Jesus had 12. He sent out 12 to change the world. And look where we are today. Because out of those 12 were faithful and obedient to what God has called them to do. So when we say obedience, it is submitting to what God requires of us. It is also recognizing the authority and direction from others, such as our pastors and church, so that we can create a winning situation. Again, this is what the church is called to do. I know I step on a lot of toes, but the church is church. Christ did not die for a church for us to fill up building and fill up real estate and take over real estate. Christ called us to the church to win souls unto him and pull them out of sin, pull them out of the grasp of Satan, that they might spend eternity with him. That's what the church is for, to spread the gospel, the good news, to change the hearts and minds. And are we doing that? I think that's our first call. I think that in that being obedient to the word. What do you say, Pastor? The importance of obedience and the characteristics of a man to be obedient to the things of God and to our leadership in the church.
All right, let me look at the clock. You know, we can wander around aimlessly doing what we think is important. We can wander around and deal with our own devices. But I love this scripture, Proverbs 19:16. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways, meaning God's way, shall die. And you can't say I love the Lord and then go do what you want to do. I can't say I love my wife and I know she tells me, she said, look, you know, I'm going to have breakfast on the table at such and such a time. I don't like the meal to be cold. You know, I whatever you do, I expect you to, you know, make sure you gauge your time so you can be at the table. And so if I constantly rebuff that, I'm missing out on something. First of all, I'm missing out on something that I need, nourishment. The second is I'm missing out on a blessing from her because she's providing it. She's taking the effort to make sure that I have it. So now I'm missing out on a blessing of her heart, what she wants to give to me. So when we're disobedient, we cut ourselves off from God's blessings. And people just say, oh, well, we cut ourselves off from God's blessings. No, we cut ourselves off, first of all, from God's outpouring of his heart. We don't deserve anything that he gives us. And so we got to realize anything that we get from him is out of love that he has for us. Love for people that don't even want to obey him all the time. The other is the increase that results from the blessing that you have. It's something that you're going to need. You know, watch these survivor shows or what have you. You know, one good movie is The Hunger Games. You know, they put them out there and they had this contest going on and they have minimal supplies. But the game master gives them things that they need that can help them to win the game. And God does that. But when we're disobedient, we can't hear him. When we're disobedient, we can't understand his word when we open up. When we're disobedient, we can't be used by him because we're too busy being hard-headed. Could you imagine if water didn't want to flow downhill? The very nature that God has given it is that it flows over the entire earth so that we have it. There's no, and if you ever tried to block water, it'll find another way. You can block water all you want, but it's going to find another way. Why? Because it does what God's told it to do. It doesn't complain about it's too hard to do it. Doesn't complain about, you know, it's been doing it all its life. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to preach. But obedience, that's the one. That's the one.
Amen, Pastor. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Because our prayer is that someone will hear this and be encouraged. And we'll look at their lives and consider a change, because that's what we should be doing. That's what the word teaches. That's these are the words and the sermons we should be hearing. Because if we remember, for my Bible scholars out there, Paul wrote all these letters in the New Testament to either rebuke or encourage the body of Christ, and that's what we should be doing. And in the body of Christ, rebuke and encourage the saints. Reaching the lost through the message of gospel, through teaching them what it means to be obedient to Christ. It's just not showing up on Sunday and dressing up and looking good and punching your spiritual time clock. It's avoid, because God's going to search our hearts. He's going to search who we are. He's going to search our motivations. And we're all going to stand before him. And we're not going, you know, one of the things I learned, well, I just told this a long time ago. You know, we're not going as a church. We're not going as Harvest, as Jesus Lives, as whatever your church is, AME, First Baptist, or whatever. That's not how you're going to stand before God. You're going to stand before God alone and naked, and he's going to examine you. And either he's going to say, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, or he's going to cast you out. So we have to look at ourselves. And what we're talking about here is just some of the traits of a Christian man, some of the things we should be looking at in our lives. Pastor, I'm going to come to you for the closing and your closing thoughts and prayer in a moment, but I just wanted to share with the audience as we're talking about this tonight, one of the things I want to encourage the brothers to do and to think about, the character traits we touched on tonight. Is this character work trait working in me? Is it working in you right now? Are you efficient? Do you have discretion? Are you obedient to the things of God? And I want you to say the things of God, even in temple realm, or what kind of employer or employee are you? How are you living? What are you doing? You know, how do you now exhibit these characters in your life every day? How can you use this character to develop a better willingness to respond to others, especially the ones that you love? You know, how is it going to be better? What can you do differently? And then we have to look in the mirror and say, what's blocking me from being, from doing it? What's blocking me from being obedient to God's word? What's blocking me from being obedient to authority, following directions of my pastor, being part of what the church is doing? Whatever your ministry, whatever your church is doing, you know, all churches have missions and visions. Why are you not participating in the fulfillment of the vision of the man you call your pastor and the church you call your church family? Or you just punch your spiritual time clock. I'm just saying. How can you take this and make it function better and faster and do it in a way that you'll be successful? And just think about it. Just continue now to pray, to think. Pastor gave us the acronym for think. And to start, today is the day that you can begin to be different and be a different kind of man and be a different man of purpose. And that's all we want to do. We talk here at Christian Men's Talk. We want to encourage the brothers to the next level, to the next level of grace, to fulfill the purpose God created you for. Remembering, none of us was a mistake. None of us was just a happen. We weren't the mistake of our father. We just happened to be the cause or whatever. God knew us, God planned our lives, and God has a purpose for our lives. But we have to get lined up with him and be obedient to him so they can use us to do what he's called us to do. And one of the things I do want to share and let everyone know, there is always, every saint out there, these are from believers now, there's a person. It may be one, it may be five, but in your lifetime, there's just one person who's only going to receive the gospel from you. They're going to see you, know you, or see watch your life. Even today, there's someone watching you. They may not be saved right now, but they're watching you, and they're only going to receive the gospel and be able and understand who Christ is through watching you and knowing you and when you speak to them. So that's why we encourage you here, Issues Christian Men's Talk, to always share the gospel, plant a seed. God will do the increase. God will do the watering, but we have to do our part. We're called to be seed planters. Some of us, we need this as much as we can. If it's a scripture, if it's given a Bible, even inviting someone, because someone to come visit a ministry because you asked them, not because of how famous the pastor is or isn't. You know, because I could tell an unbeliever about T.D. Jakes and whatever, any other ministers out here, or Tony Evans, I can tell them about them, but that don't mean nothing to them because they know me. So we have to be in a place where it come and hear. So they might be able to hear from your pastor or hear at a Bible study. And that's the other thing, before I go to Pastor Offer for his comments, Bible studies is a very fertile place to reach the unbeliever because they have opportunity to have their questions answered and hear conversations about the word of God and what it means and how people respond and how people think things through. So I encourage anybody out there, your Bible study, invite people to Bible study. Sunday service, you know, everybody is inviting everybody to Sunday. I encourage you for the next 3 months, how about start inviting folks to come to your Bible study and see, and so they can have an opportunity to ask a question or hear a question that can be answered. Because we all know Bible study is a different kind of format, a different atmosphere, and that's also a tool that can reach the unbeliever or the man on the fence or those with doubt. Amen? You can listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. You can always listen to a rebroadcast and archive of all of our shows by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And you also can go to our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page or also on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk. Pastor Offer, you have the last word and close us out in prayer, brother. You have 5 minutes, preacher. Amen.
I saw the clock.
I appreciate you for And I appreciate you for joining us. And I appreciate you for joining me tonight.
It is my honor to join you and the other men that will hear this broadcast. And, you know, just to close out real quick, a few points of what we've been talking about. It's important for us as men to be obedient to God's instruction. The reason that we need to be obedient to God's instruction is because the first thing he says is, I'm holy, therefore you must be holy. That's the standard. We are called to be holy, meaning we're called to be godly creatures. We are called to be what God wants us to be. And he has designed us with a work in mind, not a work for him to do in us. He knows the work he needs to do. He's already done it. He's continuing to develop us. But what are we doing to develop ourselves? God created us in his image. And when he created us in his image, he put a whole lot of potential in you. He put a lot of greatness in you. And this is a recurring theme that I've gotten from my mentors, and I continuously see it in God's word. Everywhere I turn, God is calling us to greatness. Jesus said, you'll do greater things than you've seen me do. Where's that greatness in us? Where's that greatness in the men of God? Where is it being displayed? We need to take inventory, and we need to look at this potential, because failure to be the potential that God has for us, failure to reach the level that he has for us to sit down on our talents, to sit down on our skills, to sit down on our ideas, failure to take those things and move in a mighty way. And yes, you can move in a mighty way, through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a sin. It's a sin for us to not do what God wants us to do. It's a sin for us not to achieve what it is that he has told us, instructed us to do. It's nasty truth, but it's the truth. You know, God requires that we bear much fruit. It didn't say spit out a pear or an apple here and there. He said much fruit. You go and plant an apple tree in your yard and it gives you one apple every year. You liable to go out and cut it down and put something else up. And so we have to be careful that we ensure that we're going to do what God wants us to do, that we live to our full potential. Stop cheating yourself and stop cheating God. God doesn't need you, but he created you that you might do something for the kingdom. Man, I'm here to tell you, there's greatness that's in you. Find these character traits. Develop them in yourself. And as Deacon Farr said, make that commitment to go to Bible study and to bring somebody with you. I'll repeat that one more time. Go to Bible study and bring somebody with you. Find a men's fellowship and go to it and bring somebody with you. Be a ministry. Be the ministry you're supposed to be. You're going to be the example. People are going to find out that you're a child of the king. When they find out you're a child of the king, they're going to say, oh, this is a Christian, and they're looking for the gospel to be lived through you, for you to reflect it. Are they going to get the real gospel, or are they going to get something that's perverted because you're not doing what God wants you to do? I'm going to drop that right there, and I'm going to leave that for you, because I want to just seriously go into prayer right now, and I want everybody to hear this. I want you to just take this moment, and as you're about to pray, say, God, just use me. That's all I want you to just say, God, just use me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come with the power of the Holy Spirit, the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ. We come, dear God, thanking you for this discussion, for this last hour. And we thank you, Father God, for Deacon Farr. We thank you for the vision that you have given to us and given to him. And now, God, we resolve in our hearts and our minds that we need your Holy Spirit and we need your strength. We need you, God, right now to stir up the gifts that are in us, to make us courageous, to make us not afraid, that we'll be bold in the gospel, that we'll be bold as husbands, we'll be bold as fathers, and we'll go out and we'll do something the world just thinks that ain't possible. We're going to go out and we are going to live victorious, and we're going to be loud, and we're going to proclaim the gospel, and we're going to live boldly so that people will look at us and they'll think that we're peculiar. But God, we thank you, because if they think we're peculiar, they will give you, Lord, the glory and the honor that is due you. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, Pastor. God bless you and good night.
Good night.